Advent is the 4 weeks prior to Christmas, and each week in our church and in many of our homes, we light one more candle. As the light grows brighter, so the Christ child draws nearer. I invite you to join me now as we begin our prayer time by turning our attention to the screens. Lord, we thank you for this great mystery that the God of the universe came to us as a baby, came to us so that we could learn that we could come to you and all of our frailties and mess ups and all of our needs and hurts. Lord God, you made it so clear that we can come to you, and we thank you for that. Because so many times there's just nowhere else to turn and nowhere else to go. We thank you that you hear the private cries of our heart and the spoken prayers of our lips. We thank you that you know our needs and the needs of those we love, even if we never speak them. Hear now the names and needs of those people that we know need your touch. Lord, we pray for peace in the world and peace in our homes. We pray for those who are cold and hungry. And we pray that in our abundance and gluttony, you find a way to speak to us and show us how to share what we have with those in need. We ask you to change us and shape us and to make us into your people. For it is our desire to live like you. And we join together now and say together the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Matthew, chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Bible is full of names given to God and to Jesus. I have two devotional books by Ann Spangler, called Praying the Names of God and Praying the Names of Jesus. Together, they will take you through an entire year of study. When I Googled names of Jesus, The first site that popped up was 100 biblical names for Jesus. The Bible is full of names for Jesus. And each one gives us a clearer picture of who Jesus is and what Jesus is about. We just heard from Matthew that the very name Jesus is a message to us. Jesus is the Greek name Joshua, which means Lord saves, Lord save. Or as Matthew said, God will save his people from their sins. Even the name of Jesus is given to confirm God's promise to deliver us. And Matthew, quoting Isaiah 7, brings another precious name of Jesus that we hear especially this time of year. Emmanuel, God is with us. Emmanuel. Sometimes in our lives, it's important to have others with us. Remember walking your children to school the first day, or maybe your parents walking you into that big, scary new building, helping you find your classroom, your cubbyhole, your desk, meeting the teacher, waiting as you settled in. Sometimes it's important to have others with us. I think about teenage girls who seem unable to go to the restroom by themselves. They go as a group, like a gang, to find the place. And to talk about what's going on and to check their makeup. Before my teenagers will decide if they're going to a party or some event, they want to know who else is going. They want to know if someone will be there with them. Or I think about a frightened child who's had a bad dream or been terrorized by a neighborhood dog. What do we say to them? I'm right here. Mama's right here. Daddy's right here. Our very presence, a comfort to them. We know that sometimes it's important to have others with us. And apparently God knows this too. One message we find in the pages of Scripture from the very beginning to the very end is that God is with us. It's in Genesis. It's in Revelation. It's everywhere in between. God is with us, Emmanuel. In Genesis 26, there's a famine in the land. That means you can't go to Publix to get what you need. You can't drive to Fayetteville or Birmingham or even over to Atlanta. Everywhere you go, there is no food. And Isaac is thinking, I guess we're just going to have to move to Egypt to find some there. But the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you, and I will bless you." When it seems that there's no way that we can make it, God says, "It's okay. I'm here. I'm right here with you. And so you stay here too, and I'll take care of you." And God did that for Isaac. In Genesis 31, Jacob has figured out that his days of welcome at his uncle Laban's house are numbered, and he's not sure what to do about it. But God tells Jacob, "Go back to the land of your fathers and your relatives, and I will be with you." Yes, Esau is there. And yes, Esau is the one who threatened to kill you after you tricked him and stole his blessing. But God says, "Go back and face your past. I will be with you and I will protect you." And God did. And God will. In Exodus 3, Moses had fled Egypt because he murdered someone. But God sends him back to Egypt to liberate millions of relatives who are in slavery to Pharaoh. Would that scare you? Does that sound scary to you? One man facing the mightiest army and the mightiest ruler in the world? But God said, "Go, Moses, I will be with you." And the next several books of the Bible tell the story of God being with Moses and the Hebrew people. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, that's what they're about. God with God's people. God said it again to Joshua after Moses had died. The man who led the Hebrew people out of slavery, who led them through the wilderness, who brought water from a rock, who ascended the mountain of God, Moses, who came down from that mountain with the Ten Commandments, looking like Charlton Heston. The man who judged and ruled and taught that scraggly band of refugees what it meant to be a free people of God. That great Moses is dead. And his little secretary, Joshua, his assistant, probably the associate pastor on staff. Joshua is now in command. And of course Joshua is afraid. Of course he feels outclassed and underqualified. But again, God's words are simple and clear. I will be with you, Joshua. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. What beautiful words. A beautiful promise. God said it to Gideon, a mighty warrior who was so mighty he was hiding from his enemies in a wine press. When an angel appeared to Gideon, Gideon had the audacity to question the angel. He said, "Excuse me." That's in your scriptures. It's in the Bible. Look it up. Gideon says, "Excuse me, but if God is with us, then why is all this happening to us?" Sounds like us, doesn't it? If you're with us, God, why are we facing this? Why us? Why are we having to go through this? And what God said to Gideon, God also says to us, you have the strength to do what I'm asking you to do, and I will be with you. God is where God sends us, not always where we want to be. To Solomon, the son of David. David is the king that everyone knew was the best. With that impossible act to follow, God says to Solomon, I will be with you too. God isn't only with the greatest and the richest and the smartest and the best and the most successful. God is with us too. Unlikely choices, lesser heroes, you and me, ordinary people. God with us. Emmanuel. And to Isaiah, a passage you've heard me quote many times, God says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not get burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze. Through all the painful and terrifying things we face, God says what God has always said. I will be with you, Emmanuel. And a virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And for 30-some years, the world had visible proof of God's abiding presence. For 30 years, God in the flesh walked this earth and breathed this air and lived as we were created to live. And after Jesus died and rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples once again. And Jesus' final message to them and to us was the same mantra that God has been chanting since Genesis. It's the same song in a new key. When Jesus says, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. In our Bibles, the very end of the age is described in Revelation chapter 21, where John is given a vision of a new heaven and a new earth, and we are told, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. From Genesis to Revelation, God is with us, all around us, all throughout eternity, like a father who stands in waist-deep water with his arms outstretched to that toddler who's on the edge of the pool, saying, I will catch you. His arms say to the child, I will catch you. That's what God says to us. I'm here. Like an adult child hovering at the bedside of a parent recently out of surgery, but still too drugged to be awakened, wiping her mother's brow, slipping socks on her feet, braiding her hair, singing her mama's favorite hymns. Her presence there with her mother is meant to communicate that I'm here for as long as it takes for you to find your way back to us. The message of Christmas is God's assurance that no matter how frightening or hard or messed up crazy our lives are right now, no matter how long it's going to take us or one of our kids to finally come to our senses, God is with us. Emmanuel. I know you can look back over your life at Emmanuel moments you have already experienced. That wreck that could have left you dead or paralyzed. Emmanuel. God was with you. That love crisis that almost sent you over the edge, or maybe did send you over the edge. But you came back. Emmanuel. God was with you. The fire that could have destroyed everything and everyone you love. Emmanuel, God was with you. The promise to us is God's abiding presence. That's why the angel said to Joseph, "Do not be afraid. Startled as you may be at this turn of events, rest assured you have nothing to fear. God is in control. You are in God's hands, and God is with you." Thanks be to God. I say what the angel said, do not be afraid. Whatever you face this week, God is with you. And if God is with you, who can be against you? Go in the saving strength and power and love of our God, the God we know is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.